a subject tonight. Why it's hard for us to make decisions. Most decisions that are made, and the reason they're not made is because we really don't know what we should do. One thing that I've found out in the 50 years I've been in the ministry, people don't want to make decisions. From simple things on hard things. Especially if it includes other people. So I guess I should entitle the message, Why We Do Not Want to Make Decisions. My wife will ask me from time to time, what do you want for supper? I don't care. Why do I say why I don't care when I really care? You know, she's going to make some fancy dish that I can't pronounce. I'd rather have brown beans and cornbread. You know, but I'm like everybody else. I don't care. Why you want to watch on TV tonight? I don't care. But we really do care. Why do we find it so hard to make a decision? Well, in the Gospel of St. John, the 7th chapter, we see something here. John 7, verse 24, God said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Amen. We all do that. We'll see somebody, you know, dressed a little different, look a little different, you know. Thoughts go through our mind. We don't have any problem making up our mind and saying he's a hippie or he's lost or he's this or he's that. When really we can't make that decision until we get to know him. But why we do not want to make decisions, I believe we're afraid of the outcome. Afraid of the outcome. We are pre-programmed for fear of failure. We wait for someone else, the husband, a wife, the wife for the husband, or the husband for the wife. If we possess a pre-programmed belief that we are incapable of making decisions. But to make decisions properly, we've got to be informed. You make decisions based upon experience, but a better way to make that decision is on facts. Because a lot of decisions I made 25, 30 years ago, they would be the wrong decision tonight because things have changed so much. I believe one of the main reasons is irresponsibility. You know, when an individual is healthy and strong and capable of working and taking care of his family. Instead, he goes down to the welfare office and try to get food stamps and help this. And the reason, he's just not responsible. He doesn't realize, he hadn't been taught. Or if he's been taught, he doesn't want that because that means a change in my life. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Now, let me give you an example. You know, I don't think men ought to wear long hair.
Amen.
None of my business, but it's God's business. And God says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's just a very simple that we can comprehend. Now, I can say my opinion. But your opinion is like my opinion. It's not worth much. What's it based on? But when you say, I believe this because God's word teaches it, as I told Sister Brenda right before service, I've preached this for years. A lost man would be better off in this life following the word of God. He would never be unfaithful to his wife. He would never partake in alcohol to the extent he's going to get drunk. He would never use drugs. He would never mistreat his children if he followed the word of God. See, this Word of God is a good book, not only for the lost, but it's an excellent book for the saved. So God said here in verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertaineth to this life? We're going to judge. And you know what we're going to use? We ought to use the word of God when we judge. And if the word of God is used, we're not giving our opinion. We've given our opinion because God said it. And if God said it, and if I'm saved, I ought to be willing and able to say, thus said the Lord. Amen. I mean, you see what happens when a home does not follow the word of God. You see this. Children, you know, just go wild. Husbands and wives, go wild. Because they don't follow the word of God. But I also believe it's hard to follow something you're not acquainted with. We hold the wrong concept of God. He will punish us if we are wrong. See, but the mentality of this world is God is love. Same mentality Satan has went down to the mom and dad. I don't make my children mine because I love them. If you love them, you would discipline. I didn't say beat him. I didn't say mistreat him. You would discipline. The same reason we would discipline someone in the church. Not because we hate them, but if we discipline somebody through non-attendance and you say you discipline them, what have we done? They're used to non-attending. We're just following the letter of the law.
Amen.
And We can't judge a people. If God said, I'm going to judge the angels, why can't I judge my fellow man by the word of God? Didn't God say, if he loved me, keep my commandments? Didn't God say, by their works we will know them? But we don't want to do that, see? We are comfortable where we are, the comfort zone Christian. You know what the comfort zone Christian is? We like to be comfortable, don't we? Well, when it gets down like it was last Sunday, it's not comfortable in my house. So you got to make provisions. You know, you get a little extra going, you put on an extra coat, you put a blanket or something. But the worst condition you can be in as a child of God is to be in the comfort zone. God said in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said, but ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a lady in our church. She knows who she is. We had another one, Sister Linda Fowler. She sent out cards. Well, a card is more than such an action, because, you know, if you do like I do, you know, if I send you a card, it's one from the Dollar Tree store. I got two for a dollar. So the card is 50 cents and the stamp is 50 cents. So I'm saying I love you a dollar worth today. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that I had you on my heart. I had you on my mind. And I wanted you to know that I'm praying for you. You're comfortable when you receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm not feeling sorry for me. I mean, Judy knows it. You know, nobody wanted to talk to me when I was growing up. It took me 5 minutes to say hi. You know, you just stutter and going on. You know, you eat things you don't want. You eat what you can say. But when God saved me, he took about 85-90% of that stuttering away. You know why? God said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Some people can't go out and knock on doors. I realize that. Some people can't do what I did today, waiting in the waiting room to see the doctor. Four or five people in there, and guess what? I just had four or five tracks with me. Do you think that's an accident, or do you think God knew that? Now, they may have taken that track after the lady called me back and said something nicely, thrown it in the trash can, but God bless his faithfulness. Amen. Still in the book of Acts, go to 8:1. God said here in Acts, the 8th chapter, and Saul was consenting unto his death, And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. There will always be a number that will scatter. You know, I didn't buy into this. This is not what God's called me to do. But the apostles, they were sticking with the stuff. I don't care whether, you know, and remember, I mean, you got to remember who's speaking tonight, the Word of God. You only do those things when God opens the door. You can know when that person is interested, when that person has got a hearing, when that person, you're sitting there in a waiting room and you reading the Bible and people, what's wrong with him? They're curious. They notice that you didn't do a thing. I mean, I don't know about that's you, but the most of the doctor's offices I drove to, they got all kinds of magazines. They're 5, 6, 7 years old, you know. But I don't read those magazines when they're fresh off the press. See, we are comfortable where we are. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Well, you don't have to, you're just comfortable in your own skin. If I can't be comfortable with self, got a flat answer, husbands, when your wife said, do you like my dress? I wouldn't wear it, honey, but it sure looks good on you. Do you like that dress? That's all matters, if my wife likes that dress. But don't do like some women have done. Pastor, you like my dress? Man, that makes no difference what your pastor likes. Does your husband like that dress? It makes no difference whether the people in the waiting room is uncomfortable because some old country preacher is reading his Bible. Is God pleased with it? If I was going to be a people pleaser, I'd get in politics. Why are we so hard to make a decision to say God is first? And you don't have to go out and do anything except just do what's on your heart. Make a decision for the Lord. He saved me on purpose, for a purpose. And you know, when I talk to whoever I'll talk to this week about the project that's on my heart, and they say absolutely no, you take that answer that God shut the door and you go somewhere else. Well, nobody but the heathens. No. That may not be the right place. It may not be the right time. God will open the door or shut the door. We just got to be ready to walk through that door. We don't trust God for the results. See, if anybody's saved, if anybody gets excited about the Lord's second coming, God's got to do it. You know. Now, the next part of my lesson is how to make a wise decision. See, I believe personally that any decision you make should have been made after much prayer. Amen? You got to be willing to pray. Seek God for hidden areas you are not aware of. We won't look there, but mark this, Nehemiah, the first chapter, the first 4 verses. See, we got to have a heavy prayer focus. You'll never be sorry you bought something if you didn't pray, if you pray about it first. But, you know, if you don't take this baby now, it may not be here tomorrow. You want to close that deal? It may not be here tomorrow. If it's not here tomorrow, that means God didn't want you to have it. If God wants you to have it, it'll be there tomorrow, it'll be there next day, it'll be there next day. So that isn't how God works. Well, when you get time, tell me how he works. It is God that opens up doors, and our responsibility is to pray and say, God, is this what I should do? But sometimes God answers no, and we don't like it, so we approach it a different way. See, that's what your kids do. You know, I've done it 100 times. Dad, can I do this? I'm boss over here. I'm boss, so the kid comes to me and says, Dad, can I do that? Go ask Mom. We ask God, God, should I do this? God, should I participate in this? God, should I follow you and hope that everybody agrees, but I'm going to follow you. Now see, the reason we don't do that so many times is that we don't gather all the necessary data. The biggest mistake that I found when young people go out and buy a house, they said, I can afford that $485 a month. But can you afford the taxes and the insurance? See, they're so excited about buying that house, they don't think about, there's going to be taxes on that house every year. There's going to be insurance on that house. And unless you got an insurance that don't keep going up, tell me about it after service. Mine's got a habit of going up every year. Not much, you know. Couple dollars here and couple dollars there. Then you have some salesman that's working for the devil, and they'll say, now, honey, how I can save you some money is to take this off and take this off. Gather all the data. So what's that got to do? Well, Luke chapter 14 knows what God says. Luke, the 14th chapter. When we look at Luke, the 14th chapter, and the 28th verse, God said, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Least happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. See, the trouble with easy believism is to walk down the aisle and say these few words after the pastor and we'll dunk you in the water and you're heaven bound. But you didn't listen, or you didn't have a pastor that told you, a Sunday school teacher that told you, there's more to being saved than walking down the aisle. God saves everybody on purpose and for a purpose. You were not saved accidentally. It's hard staying saved if you're not dependent upon the Lord. It'll wire you out. Need to search the word of God, talk to somebody and and say, you know, this is what will happen. This is how you know that you are a child of the King. We research the car we're going to buy, or the iPhone we're going to buy, or the computer we're going to buy, more than we do the church that we're going to get spiritually fed in. Now, to count the cost, we got to do the research. It's a big decision. The biggest decision I ever made was accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's a big decision. Do I want a church that will teach me the Word of God as it is, who I am? Or do I want one who makes me feel good? One that will entertain me. It's hard for some of you to believe, or shouldn't be, maybe you're not, but I was talking to a person and I invited them out to Ammerman Road, and they said, what do you have to offer? I knew where this was leading to. I said, we have the Word of God, and I believe we have some people that will treat you like they care about you. Well, you know, the church that I attend, I don't have to take these clubs where you can exercise and all that, because they got a swimming pool and they got a tennis court and they got this. So I said, so what you do, you pay your token by showing up on Sunday morning, and then you use the facility because as a member you're free. He said, well, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, I guess it is. I got a pretty good deal, haven't I? I would check with the Lord before I made that decision. But they're perfectly happy. They don't know what they believe. They don't know what the church believes. They only know that their status in the community went up because now they can run with and swim with and play tennis with all the big wheels, whatever that means. I think I'm a pretty much of a big wheel because God chose me. Of all the people in the world, He chose me. See? I may not be worth much, but I cost God a lot.
Amen.
You need to seek godly counsel. How to make wise decisions. If I got a problem with my vehicle, I want to talk to somebody who knows vehicles. If I've got a plumbing problem or whatever, I want to talk to somebody that's grounded in that. I want to sit down with someone that will tell me the truth, even though they know I may not want to hear it.
Amen.
You know the first thing that Brother DeRossi told me? When he was at my house visiting, I said, if I join church and get baptized, what am I going to do with my friends? He said, you won't have to worry about your friends. The closer you get to the Lord, the farther away they'll be.
Right.
Now, I didn't do anything to my friends. But there is an exception every once in a while. How many of those people, Judy knows all these perfect individuals I ran around with, gave them my money and drove them around and You know how many of my buddies has been in this church? One. He was my best man at my wedding. How many came to my 50th year anniversary? One. You know why? They weren't really my buddies. They just knew that if I had money, they had money. Well, if Brother Mike is a true friend to me and I'm a true friend to him, if he can help me, he'll help me. If I can help him, I'll help him. Not because of what I've got or what he's got. Simply that's what friends, true friends do. But God tells us, brothers and sisters, and I got off of it a little bit here, but God tells us in the book of Proverbs, and you know it's hard for me to preach without going to the book of Proverbs, God said in Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. There's a purpose. There is a purpose. So God said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You know, when I had my first heart surgery in 1978, I searched out all the heart doctors, and I narrowed it down to two, one in Texas, one in Nashville. See, the surgery that I had, if you didn't have it taken care of when you were a baby, you usually died. So my only question was, how many surgeries like this have you done? And I forget the exact number, but one of them said, I believe seven. And I said, how many of them live? He said two. And the other, and I think was six, how many lived? And, you know, he said four. That's the one I want. One to one with the best record. Knowing all along, if God doesn't bless, none of them are going to do anything. But what I'm saying, it is we got a responsibility to seek counsel when we got a decision we're not sure of. Never rush a major decision. Proverbs 15:28. Said the heart of the righteous studied to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Man, I tell you, every young person ought to memorize Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studied to answer. One of my friends came to me, and his first wife died, and he was going to get married again. And he said, you know how much I respect you and how much I think you're going to be totally honest. And I said, okay, do you think I ought to marry this woman? I not only think you shouldn't marry this woman, you shouldn't even be dating this woman. But he went ahead and married her anyway. And he liked to, she liked to take him into bankruptcy and found out later she was giving him a little bit of poison each night. Now, I hope you can take this the right way. If somebody you respect, and you shouldn't be talking to somebody for advice if you don't respect that person. But if you respect that person and they give you some advice that is contrary to your flesh, you ought to listen. You at least ought to think about it. Never make a decision when emotions are high. Never make a decision when emotions are high. I feel good, Dad. I feel good. I'm so excited. I know he's the one. And you find out the sucker's married. Or he hadn't held a job in 19 years or something. See, you let emotions get all involved. That's the way people do about church. Does he preach the word of God? Does the church want to hear the word of God? It is the word of God that will make you strong when you're weak and give you the good sense to make right decisions even when the flesh don't like it. Proverbs 15, verse 28 again. Heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Don't make an answer just because it feels good or it seems to be right at the time. Will it hinder my Christian walk? Will it hinder my Christian walk? I don't care how prosperous it's going to make you or what else you may want to add to it. If it hinders you from being all you can be for the Lord, it's the wrong decision. And lastly, how will it affect the rest of my life? My family, those around me. How will it affect? You say, well, we're at age now, so it really doesn't matter. You know, I loved my mama when I was young. I loved her even more when I got old. Older I got, smarter my parents got. And the more I study this word, the more I pray, the closer I am to the Lord. I don't think God wakes you up at 4 o'clock so you can watch the 11 o'clock news all over again. If you're up at 4 and you turn on 18, 27, 36, you'll see the news that was at 11 o'clock the night before. I didn't watch it at 11. It's not going to get any better if they let it set all night. So I know my wife is not going to get up, not even going to wake up until at least 7. What am I going to do with those 3 hours? That's a decision I've got to make. And that decision will either make me stronger or weaker. It's not hard to make decisions if you let the Holy Word of God influence your decision.